You know, from all the promotions, you'd think that last week's Super Bowl, broadcast by CBS, was mostly presented just to be the lead-in for Survivor 2, the Australian Outback. The show actually outpointed the last quarter of the Super Bowl, drawing more than 40 million viewers to watch 16 castaways claw, badmouth, and backstab their way closer to $1 million. Now, Survivor 2 is the sequel to last season's surprise hit of the same name, but lesser numeral. 2 has a more forbidding location, but the same host, Jeff Probst, and similar team challenges.
You got cow brain there. The good news is it's pretty fresh. Should have a nice taste to it. You guys ready for this?
Sure.
Okay. 3, 2, 1, we're on.
I can't eat a brain.
We have someone to take back camp with us.
Yeah, Keith!
You are the man.
You're the man!
I can't do it.
Taking a pass, Kimmy?
It's a mammal. Can't do it.
Well, maybe Rick Bayless could make something a little more appetizing out of it. Well, our entertainment critic Elvis Mitchell joins us now from New York City. Elvis, thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Scott. You know, actually, the New York Giants scored more when they were on Survivor than they did in the last quarter of the Super Bowl.
Yes, that would be nothing, as I recall. Listen, I guess people could infer, not just from my little arch introduction, but also from everything we've said on the past, that you were probably inclined to like this show. Is there something good about it? Is there something redeeming, diverting, interesting, amusing, anything?
Yeah. I find it utterly fascinating because I was talking to, actually, my father about this not too long ago, and he was telling me what game shows were like in the 50s. And what we've come to realize, we talked about this, is there used to be when game shows, quiz shows, whatever you want to call them, were on, they were because we wanted to see the best in people. Mm-hmm. And now, because of what reality quiz game shows are, we want to see the worst in people. We want to see people do things that we would never imagine doing, like the woman who basically took her partial plate out to swallow the worm in its entirety before the brain was politely demurred by Kimmy.
We watched it after the Super Bowl, and I must tell you, the next day we were talking much more about Survivor than we were about the Super Bowl.
Well, you know, it's kind of axiomatic. The Super Bowl games are never very good in the second half anyway. It's
like
the last half.
Certainly not
Saturday
for New York
Live
fans, yeah.
There's something about watching, especially the second group of people, you wonder when they make time to actually do all those ab crunches they must do on the island, because they're in an incredibly good shape.
Yeah, aren't they?
Unlike the first group of people, which seemed a lot more real, and in fact reminded me of the anecdote about Gilligan's Island, that the cast members were supposed to represent archetypes of society. I guess the cast members of the first Survivor represented kind of archetypes, except they're archetypes we'd never want to be. Mm-hmm. And now there's like a better-looking version of that group, like the guy who apparently went to Harvard Law School, but he looks more like a cast member of L.A. Law than a graduate of Harvard Law.
Mm-hmm. These shows are called reality shows, but I'm wondering. Yeah, all right, thank you. That answers
I don't know, maybe
that.
You have a chance of winning $1 million walking down the halls of NPR, but I got to tell you, it don't happen too often with the New York Times. It's so funny because it's the networks have a kind of lag time, even from syndicators. I mean, because back in the last century, the 90s, there were shows like Studs and America's Most Wanted and all that kind of stuff that finally, a few years later, a major network has kind of co-opted that stuff and turned it into something for themselves, but they couldn't just be the real world. It's a real world and $1 million.
Let me ask you about this newest, and I will avoid the term of art, reality show. And this, of course, is the Fox one, Temptation Island, okay? Four, what we're told are committed couples, are left on a tropical island, hardly stranded, and, you know, essentially they're supposed to test the bonds of their relationship by being surrounded by attractive and willing people. Kind of Gilligan's Island meets the Love Connection. Now, this week, a bit of unrehearsed drama, because a couple was disqualified because it turns out they had misrepresented their relationship to the show's producers.
Some information has come up that is problematic. We now know that you guys have a child together. And I think that's a very dangerous scenario for this show. My responsibility as a producer, Fox's responsibility as a broadcast network, was never to put a mother and father of a child into a situation where they'd be tempted into potentially fracturing that relationship.
It
would just kill me to
think
that
the experience. Yes, it is. I know.
And I was touched because, you know, I guess they use the same investigator that they use for that Who Wants to Marry a Millionaire show.
Oh, yes.
It also makes you wonder what the term responsibility means at Fox, don't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, this happens twice in a row.
But this was good for the show in a way, wasn't it, in many ways, this kind of mistake? I mean, it gets
that's
people
like,
talking, yeah.
It certainly does. But the thing is, when the show first aired, basically, they broke the news that they found out that this couple had been committed, and I guess in a more serious way than the other couples had. So it almost makes you wonder if there's some disingenuousness going on there.
What do you think about the fact that you've got, it seems like at some point, half the CBS news department treating these shows like they're actual news events?
You're asking me if Bryant Gumbel throws up when he cashes his check every week after having these people trot through the early show.
If he does, he can afford a nice new pair of alligator shoes.
We're taking probably make on Survivor 2 for him. Like, apprehend an alligator and, like, carve him up. Next week, we're making Bryant Gumbel a belt right here on Survivor 2, the Outback. Well, I mean, this line has been sort of pushed back and pushed back all the time. But, you know, there's a kind of collusion going on in all this now. Not only do these people turn up on the CBS shows, they turn up on the Today Show and Good Morning America. I mean, it's become a real American phenomenon. I wonder what kind of change this is going to augur for the network schedules, let's say 6 months from now, when the supposed or potential writer's strike takes place, and suddenly these shows are no longer a luxury but become a necessity because they can be produced and kept on the air for a lot longer.
Elvis, thank you very much.
Thank you, Scott.
Elvis Mitchell is our entertainment critic here on Weekend Edition and a critic for the New York Times.